And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go.
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're here. It's free agency day two of NFL free agency, and it has been a frenzy, but it's pretty much over. Let's be honest. Most of the players left are accessory players. It was not a deep free agent class to begin with. We talked about that a little bit in an article over at FTN Fantasy earlier here a couple weeks ago, as far as who was potential viable fantasy assets that we could be looking at and how to really assess them moving forward for Dynasty to begin with. And now we got some of these people in some landing spots. So we're going to talk about some of those players today and just kind of give an overview, a quick, not necessarily a full-on quick reaction, because it is day two. So we've had a little bit to digest some of these landing spots, but we're going to kind of go over all those players that have signed thus far that are very viable fantasy assets. We'll run through some of the other minor signings as well if you've missed any of them. Unlikely at this point in time, you know, 2 days in, but we'll go over them quick, just give some quick reactions maybe to some of the lesser type of players here prior to diving into the more important fantasy assets moving forward, especially for Dynasty. But yeah, the time is here. It's fun. We got tons of rookie content coming out over at FTNFantasy.com, so definitely check that out. Updates weekly on the top 50 Superflex prospects. Also, continuous scouting reports coming out multiples per week. Really working through that top 50, getting a lot of the top names out sooner than later. So check all of that out, as well as continue to check out all the great content from our new content creators that we added recently. Very good group coming in here to the Dynasty season as well as the NFL season. Make sure you head on over there. Check that out. If you are not a member, make sure you sign up. And if you aren't, head on over if you are a member, I should say, and haven't checked out the Dynasty Discord, hop in there. Always a good time there to chat it up as far as Dynasty goes, getting your own personalized advice, helping you through some of those as far as this goes. It's a little bit more blanket, but you can get that personalized one-on-one in the Dynasty Discord. So check all that stuff out. But we're not here to talk about that, are we? We're here to talk about free agents. Where'd they go? New homes, new faces. Lots of fun out there in the NFL streets here this off season. And again, it wasn't a super deep class. We talked about it in the past here, last few episodes ago. We also talked about it again in that article. And in general, you can look at the list and it's not so great, all right? Especially with T. Higgins getting the franchise tag. We saw some other players kind of return home, which we'll go over here in a little bit. But some of those lesser signings that we have seen throughout this process, to key some light on that might impact us a little bit. First one's going to be Mac Hollins to New England. Coming over from Buffalo, had a pretty solid season, not really fantasy viable in Buffalo. So going to New England, not expecting much. I know he's going to have an opportunity to really carve out a role depending on what New England does in the draft. But he feels like a very good accessory piece in this wide receiver room to allow Jalen Polk, Javon Baker to kind of develop a little bit more. But he also has his special team skills, a lot of stuff. He's a very viable player at an NFL level and on an NFL roster. Not much fantasy viability here. If he couldn't do it in Buffalo, which was not necessarily the most pass-heavy team this past season, but a team that's much more explosive, better quarterback play. I do think Drake May will elevate his game a little bit going into his second season, but he's not Josh Allen at this point in time. So I'm not expecting a ton out of Mac Hollins. There will be an opportunity, obviously, if we see an addition in the draft or a few additions could muddy those waters a little bit. And again, it's probably going to be a little bit more of a run-heavy offense under Mike Vrabel and company. So don't love it. Again, fantasy, it's not like we're out there, especially in Dynasty, running to grab Mac Hollins. Additional players that we're probably not running to grab. Zach Wilson to Miami. Could be interesting if there's a Tua injury again in 2025. Other than that, not much love there for Zach Wilson. Maybe in a super flex, he's a viable backup quarterback. Considering Tua's injury history, he might be a good player to have on your bench if he's out there in the streets, but I'm not trading for Zach Wilson. Samaje Perine comes back home to Cincinnati. Again, not really loving it as far as a fantasy value goes. Does maybe put a little bit down on Isaiah Pacheco, but we'll see. That's the next player. Samaje Perine, maybe a little bit towards the Chase Brown pass-catching side of it. And again, they could add somebody. You also have Zach Moss. So very crowded room in Cincinnati at this point in time. So not loving much there for Samaje Perine. The next guy who may eat into Isaiah Pacheco a little bit, Elijah Mitchell, makes his way over to Kansas City. Struggled to stay on the field with the injuries in San Francisco. When he was on the field, showed some explosivity. Very viable running back when given an opportunity, so we'll have to see how that goes. Isaiah Pacheco still kind of returning from his injury. And again, we don't know who Kansas City adds in the draft. It's a very deep running back class, so not running out. If he's out on the waiver wire, maybe you add him just because it's the Chiefs, and if he gets an opportunity, I'm sure there's going to be some viability there on a weekly basis if he's given a fairly heavy workload. We'll also see Diami Brown going to Jacksonville. Interesting. They still have Gabe Davis. They still have Parker Washington. Obviously, Brian Thomas Jr. They did move on from Evan Ingram. They still have ETN and Bigsby in the backfield. Have an early pick. There's some rumors potentially of Tet McMillan ending up in Jacksonville at this point in time. We'll see. They didn't really add anybody in free agency that's a big name that scares me. So maybe Diami Brown finds a little bit of viability, but I'm not trusting it. Again, most of these players we're talking about right now, if they're on the waiver wire and you have some space, potential adds, not moving any real proven assets or anything much for these players in any type of trade. So those are the minor ones. Nothing too crazy there. All right, I'm going to cut to break real quick. We'll come back on the other side of that. We're going to talk about the more important fantasy assets and see what we should be doing as far as Dynasty goes moving forward with said landing spots. All right, be right back. Welcome back, boys and girls. It's time. Let's talk about those high-priority transactions that have happened. It's free agents as well as a little bit of trades. We're going to call it the transaction fallout here because there were some trades yesterday that really are going to impact us as Dynasty managers. First things first, DK Metcalf, new home. He didn't get the warm weather that he wanted. Does get a new home. Plays alongside another guy with a little bit of a temper, right? And George Pickens, but he is in Pittsburgh now. The two basic go route runners that we have seen in the past few seasons. DK and George Pickens will team up. We'll have to see how that folds out. A little worried to see how these routes play out. Also, quarterback situation, not ideal thus far moving forward here for Pittsburgh. We'll have to see how that gets addressed in the continuation here of free agency, potential draft, how we go about that moving forward. Monitoring that for sure. We also see Jaylen Warren sign his tender, so likely to see Jaylen Warren back in Pittsburgh. So exciting things there. I don't think he's going to have the full workload. Again, I think you look to Pittsburgh to add a running back, likely to complement Jaylen Warren. But again, DK Metcalf, still in on buying him. I think there's a lot of viability going to be left in DK. George Pickens, I think this also helps George Pickens. I think both of them will feed off of each other. It's going to be hard to cover both of them in this offense. I think you'll have a little bit of back and forth of viabilities on weeks. You'll probably have a boom week from DK, a boom week from George Pickens, but both still very good dynasty assets moving forward, as well as Jaylen Warren. I think this will help open up the passing game. It's going to open up the running game. And even if they add a running back, Jaylen Warren's going to be heavily involved in this offense. So not overly worried there. Moving forward, we have a ex-Pittsburgh quarterback at this point in time now. Justin Fields heads his way a little bit down the interstate over to New Jersey. They are called New York, but they're New Jersey. Let's be real. All right. But the New York Jets bring in Justin Fields for quarterback. Moving on, obviously, from Aaron Rodgers not too long ago. They've also, obviously, what's the fallout? We've seen Justin Fields have some struggles at the NFL level. He's pairing back up with former Ohio State teammate and Garrett Wilson at wide receiver. And it's probably Wilson at the moment. Tons of volume with Devontae Adams out of town as well. So Garrett Wilson is in line for probably a heavy volume. We've seen Justin Fields kind of key in on one player. Fields struggled to get the ball maybe down the field a little bit to George Pickens at times and kind of open up the explosivity of the Pittsburgh offense last year when he was a starter in the first half of the season. But he looked better. He took care of the football, something that he was struggling a little bit with there in Chicago in his early part of his career, by only throwing 2.5% of his throws, being turnover-worthy, according to FTN Stats Hub last season. He also had a higher scramble rate, 9.7%, but we'll see that probably in New York as well, continuing to use his legs and create a lot of viability. The issue that's going to be high is his ranking third behind only Joe Flacco and Jared Goff with a 17.3% checkdown rate, according to FTN data. Now, I'm not too worried here because Garrett Wilson is kind of a intermediate to short area type of player. If the Jets choose to use him that way, we saw him used that way a little bit in Ohio State. He can obviously stretch the field when asked to, but if they choose to, Garrett Wilson can obviously also operate in those shorter two areas of the field, which Justin Fields will be able to get the ball out a little bit quicker, get it to him, let him work. I'm really excited still for Garrett Wilson. I would definitely be in on acquiring Garrett Wilson if managers are starting to get a little hot in their seat there. So definitely in on that. Breece Hall as well. I think that they're going to kind of help shelter Justin Fields a little bit, lean on this run game and Breece Hall and probably Braylon Allen as well. And again, that checkdown rate was extremely high for Justin Fields last season. Maybe gold mines here in PPR leagues for Breece Hall again if he's out there in the third down type of situations while Fields is trying to take care of the football. Again, it's a similar situation in New York as it is Pittsburgh, a strong defense and an offense that has a couple weapons, very streamlined for him, kind of, this is your read. If it's not there, get rid of the ball. They will be able to do that in New York and lean a little bit on the defense. So I'm excited. I think Fields can be more of a bridge quarterback. I don't think they bring somebody in. They may draft someone a little bit later to see if they can develop them a little, but I think Fields could be a decent answer. So it's a player that I'm definitely interested in Superflex. I think he's got 17 games in him, and at least in 2025. Definitely a player I'd be looking to acquire is Fields, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall. Braylon Allen a little less. I don't know if it's going to be a full split like we saw a little bit of that mess this past season. I think Breece Hall will probably be a little bit more 60-40 potentially this season. All right. Next quarterback, we talked about him before, is Sam Darnold, heads on over to Seattle after Geno Smith was on his way to Las Vegas. So two quarterbacks, obviously impacts for both. Geno Smith, not overly excited. I think he's still a low-end quarterback, two fringe three type of player. Good viability. Same with Sam Darnold. Darnold doesn't have the same playmakers he's going to have, the same system that he had in Minnesota. It's not a terrible system in Seattle, but I don't love it. It's a guy that's struggled in his career with pressure. Seattle's offensive line struggled a little bit last year as far as protecting Geno Smith went. We also really just, he's coming off a career year. I'm not expecting that again. Do we see the Sam Darnold prior to this past season, which was woof, all right? Or do we get the 2024 Sam Darnold, you know, a Pro Bowl player, throwing for 4,300 plus yards, 35 touchdowns? Is that still in him with only a playmaking group that contains Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet, JSN, and Noah Fant? Jake Bobo? I don't think that that's the same as Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, a lot of weapons, a very good scheming system in Minnesota. Now, they're not, again, Seattle's is not terrible, but not as good as Minnesota's. I'm a little worried. I think this is obviously starter money. They plan on him being at least some type of bridge quarterback, likely for the next 3 years. That's what they gave him. So potentially that, maybe a little bit less. We'll see what they do in the draft. As well as maybe they add a playmaker. Obviously, the free agent pool has dried up pretty quickly. So at this point, it's really JSN, Jake Bobo, Noah Fant. Likely adds a receiver in the draft at some point. We'll have to see who that is and how that's going to fit. Potentially a Jaden Higgins, maybe an AO Manor, one of those bigger bodied X receivers. Those are the two that are off the top of my head. I don't think they're in on McMillan, so I'm just going to skip over that one. Maybe Matthew Golden is a little bit more undersized, but he could probably play the X for them. A little more of a Z guy, but maybe he could. We'll see what their plan is long term. We'll see how that all folds out in the draft. But again, I don't know if the tools are there for Sam Darnold here in Seattle, so I am a little worried. Again, probably quarterback two for sure for fantasy moving forward. Low end, a good third quarterback, in my opinion, on your roster. I'm not trying to add him as my second quarterback, especially if I don't have two quarterbacks. I'm looking to add Sam Darnold. My team's probably not that great. More of a rebuild. I'm just going to stay clear of Sam Darnold. I don't think he's a long-term answer in Seattle. As far as some receivers go, let's shift into that area there. My Buffalo Bills added, well, they're not mine. I guess I don't own them. That'd be pretty cool, right? But I don't. So my hometown favorite team, however you want to word that, my allegiance to the Bills. Josh Palmer is added to the Bills. Very good fit, I think, in this offense. Keon Coleman started to show some signs of potential breakouts. last season for the Bills. I think they're still cashing in on him, hoping to be making a pretty steady jump here in year two. We all saw them re-sign Khalil Shakir. He's going to play that Z role for them, kind of move around. Josh Palmer really is just an elevation of Mac Hollins, a very good blocker, very good at against man coverage, is able to find open spots and zones. He's kind of a separator, a little bit more than what the Bills had last season. Also is fine getting in a little bit dirty, blocking, coming over from a Chargers scheme that required him to block a lot. I really like this signing for the Bills. For Palmer, I think it's a steady wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4, flex type of player for you. Once we see the usage a little bit, my concern would be how much is he on the field. We'll have to see how that goes, because my guess is it's Palmer and Keon Coleman. Those are going to be your two primary receivers. So bring Khalil Shakir in packages, much like they did last year with Cooper and Keon Coleman. So that's my guess. So I think Palmer will be on the field a lot. There's going to be a lot of chances for opportunities. So I'm definitely in on Josh Palmer. If he supplants Keon Coleman and Josh Allen gets the Josh-to-Josh connection going, we may see Josh Palmer be a steady wide receiver too. Again, we'll have to see how this all folds out, but it's a player that I'm definitely actively looking to acquire if the price is right. Not overpaying, never overpay. Moral of the story, don't overpay. It's not worth it. But he's a player that if I can in trades, I'm looking to get him in back in return. Additional, not so much love here, but Chris Godwin returns to Tampa Bay. Little concerned with the injury coming off of that aging type of player. I think it's the best spot for him. I wrote it up in the article prior to the start of free agency that I would thoroughly enjoy Chris Godwin to return to Tampa Bay. He would have probably successfully hit his fourth straight 1,000-yard season last year had he not sustained that injury, and he was going with a 2.5 yards per route run prior to that injury, which at the time was 10th in the NFL. So very viable still. He was a very good as far as success rate went, according to FTN data, at 69.4% at the time of his injury. That did lead the league. Well, it actually led the league all the way to the end of the season. But again, he only played a portion of the season after that injury. So I do like the spot in the return. The issue for me is going to be that he is on his way to 29. It was a bad leg injury. I don't know how much is going to be there. Jalen McMillan's going to obviously be there. He kind of carved out a role for himself in a similar kind of role of Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is still there. You've got Cade Otton. You've got Rashad White. You've got Bucky Irving. Lots of mouths to feed in that offense. And obviously Godwin just coming off the injury, that's a little bit of a concern for me. Probably a player I'd be looking to move on from in Dynasty, even if I'm like a win now. I just don't know if his 2025 is going to be very viable for us to really ride this out with. We also see Devontae Adams on the move, heading over to the Los Angeles Rams. Very interesting situation here. Puka Nacua, we already saw. He gave up 17. He's going back to 12, much like his BYU days. Devontae Adams will wear 17 for the Rams. Interesting setup. We've seen the Rams produce Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua side by side. At one point, we saw Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. This is an offense that has bred multiple top-end wide receivers, and I think you expect that again this year. Puka and Devontae will be fringe wide receiver ones on regularity, is my assumption. You'll likely see Puka kind of take the Cooper Kupp role. Devontae Adams will be more of that perimeter guy, a little bit carving into the DeMarcus Robinson type of role, but still a lot of viability potentials here, especially with Matthew Stafford feeding them. Also gives a good bump to Matthew Stafford as a viable quarterback too, likely for most of the season. We also see Kyren Williams will probably get a bump. I mean, he's going to see a little bit of down volume with two more viable receivers as long as they both stay healthy. But again, the touchdown equity will probably be there for Kyren Williams, much like it has been the past few seasons. They'll get it close. They're going to give it to Kyren, let him punch it in the hole. So I'm very much still in on Devontae Adams. In a win now, he's a player to go get. I think there's, again, high-end top 15 type of production here from both Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua, which will obviously boost up Matthew Stafford as well as a viable quarterback too. I don't know if he gets the quarterback one. We'll have to see, but I do think that quarterback two is definitely in the range here. It's going to come down to touchdowns. You know, are they going to still throw a little bit more Devontae and Puka in the red zone, or do they continue to feed Kyren Williams, which they've had success the past few seasons for? Boost, love it for all of them. I think there's plenty of coaching scheme and viability here from the Rams for all of these said players we just mentioned. All right, let's talk about Javonte. The heart pumps for Javonte Williams still in me. I know it has been a struggle the last few seasons to really get any consistent viability. The advanced numbers are not great. He was 43rd among qualifying running backs last year with only a 14.4% avoided tackle rate. He was 36th amongst running backs with only 9.4% of his runs exceeding 10 yards. Not great. All right. Yeah, I get it. On the other hand, he was 5th amongst running backs with 70 targets last year, was getting fed in the passing game, something that he's pretty good at. We've seen that. So what the plan is here in Dallas, I'm not sure. It was not a lot of money given to him. It is a one-year deal. Do they bring Rico Dowdle back? Yet to be seen. Do they draft someone? Yet to be seen. Is Javonte their early down guy? Is Javonte their pass catching guy? Lots of question marks. Still a player, though. If someone's ready to just move on and just cut ties with it, I'd be interested. I think there's some viability potential here. If Dallas doesn't add a high-end running back, say they add an early down grinder, you know, say they add a Cam Scadaboo or Damian Martinez, you could see Javonte Williams be a nice pair to that. And that we've seen plenty of these committee type of backs, the 1-2 punch, be very viable. Dallas's offense with Dak Prescott back should be pretty explosive, especially CeeDee Lamb will be healthy. Expect a big bounce back year kind of from Dallas to an extent on the offensive side of the football, which may breed more red zone opportunities. And if Javonte's a little bit of the third down guy or potentially even a red zone type of threat, maybe that Zeke type of role, you know, there could be some touchdown equity there for Javonte Williams, which would give us very good fantasy value. All right. One of the less exciting ones happened here just not too short ago from when I was recording this podcast. DeAndre Hopkins over to Baltimore. It's not a ton of fantasy love here. I don't think it impacts much. The biggest impact would be maybe on Rashad Bateman. Say Flowers isn't going anywhere. He's going to get his targets. Mark Andrews will get his. Likely will still get his. I think it's more towards Bateman that's going to see a little bit of a hit here. But again, there's so much and so much competition for targets along with Derrick Henry. There's not much fantasy viability here. It just muddies the water for the Batemans and DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion. Maybe the tight ends get a little bit more dicey as well. It's more so a boost to Lamar Jackson, gives him another weapon to really be another high-end year for him as far as fantasy goes if he stays healthy. Again, not too much here for D-Hop. It's not a player I'm actively looking to add. If you can shop him and someone is on the other side of it where they think he's going to magically resurrect his career in Baltimore, you know, send him on his way. Next is Najee Harris. Interesting signing. Najee Harris has run a lot of zone type of concepts thus far in his career here in Pittsburgh. I was really hoping he would end up maybe in like Las Vegas, get a big workload. He ends up close to that in the Los Angeles Chargers. He's going to get a big workload unless the Chargers add somebody else, but he's had four straight seasons of 1,000 yards, over 28 touchdowns in the first four years for Pittsburgh. He was 14th amongst qualifying running backs last year with a 35.4% success rate. Pretty solid there as far as it goes for a guy that doesn't get a lot of love. The best thing, though, he had a 3% juke rate, which was actually 7th amongst qualifying running backs, according to FTN data, which is high, but it also only led to 21.7% voided tackle rate. So, yes, he was juking players, but he wasn't really creating a ton of avoided tackles. It just doesn't correlate. It's kind of a weird situation there, but a guy that, you know, has had pretty good success on an interior zone type of concept, I think you're going to see that flourish a little bit here in Los Angeles as well. So for me, I like the spot, but it is only a one-year deal and still doesn't prevent the Chargers from adding somebody. I don't know who they'll add. It will be interesting to see, but we've seen Greg Roman run a multiple back type of system in the past, and we may see that this year if they do add, you know, say they add, I don't know, Caleb Johnson or somebody. And Caleb Johnson's not really a pass catcher. Say they add Woody Marks out of USC, kind of a little bit undersized, very good pass catcher, would be a very kind of a Jalen Warren to Najee Harris again. We could see that here in this offense again. They may add, say, a Caleb Johnson or something, give themselves two similar type of runners and kind of see a rotation here. So I think it's just the same thing that Najee Harris has been. I don't know if he's going to have much more He could if they don't add somebody. If they don't add somebody, it's wheels up on Najee Harris. So if you're willing to take that risk, I think there's some viability here. But again, he's going to be a free agent next year. So again, there's not security in acquiring him. But I do think you have 2025 viability. So contenders, go all in. Go ahead and get Najee Harris. I don't think that the Chargers add a first-round running back, at least at this point in time. They will add somebody, and this is a deep class. A third-rounder can still make some very serious impact here on Najee Harris. I just don't think they add someone in round one. I think they'll probably go defense in round one or elsewhere, maybe tight end, something like that. Or receiver. They could use a receiver. So we'll have to see what the Chargers decide there, but I don't think they go running back. I think that this move tells you this is going to be kind of their guy. They're going to add a mid to late round running back to pair with him. Ultimately, the news kind of, to me, seals the deal for Kamani Vidal. It ain't happening. Don't worry about it. Cut him. It's over. That's my opinion with that running back field. And again, some interesting names still left out there that have not been signed. Rico Dowdle, J.K. Dobbins mentioned them, Raheem Mostert, Nick Chubb, also still all unsigned. Interesting players there. Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, haven't seen much from them. There's some little bit of rumors as far as that goes in that grouping. The tight end position, Zach Ertz did return to Washington, so could have some viability again there. He was kind of buoyed a lot by the touchdowns, and it's hard to trust him on a weekly basis. We'll have to see exactly how this offense goes now with Deebo Samuel. Adds another fold to where maybe Ertz isn't going to be super viable because now they have Samuel and Terry McLaurin. They did lose De'Ami Brown, but he wasn't a huge part. So we'll have to see how this offense breaks down, but I'm not totally in on the Zach Ertz signing. If you can move him for something, I'm in on it. Gesicki also returned to Cincinnati. Not super excited there either. It was one of his better seasons since leaving Miami, but still wasn't viable enough. He had weeks, but still wasn't viable or trustworthy to start. So Dynasty, I'm not totally in on Gesicki either. A decent bench player that you could maybe throw in a pinch, but not a guy that I want to be as my consistent top 12 tight end because he's just not that. All right, that's it. That's the quick roundup for the first 2 days here of free agency. Not anything crazy. Dynasty-wise, like I said, Najee Harris seems like one of the better adds. I'm in on Justin Fields again. DK, George Pickens, all up arrows. Josh Palmer, up arrow. Most of the stuff, very good, I would say, so far for signings. I think it's all kind of up arrows for most of them. If not, they were just players that were added for depth that really don't hurt much around them either. So I think it's been a very good first 2 days of a free agency. Yet to be seen, again, how this goes and what the draft brings us, but excited. So till next time, which will be short, we're going to do another mock draft. This time I'm going to be bringing on a new FTN creator, so I'm going to leave you at that. You'll have to figure out who it is. Till then, make sure you like, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on X and Blue Sky Popes FFH. Make sure you follow the FTN socials as well. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.